But the Lord is saying, new wine. New wine. And there's something new that is about to spring out of you. You know, and I just want to encourage you, mate. You know, you felt that pressing, and you know, you may not have said anything, and you know, but within yourself, there's been a pressing, and for a while, but now it's new wine. It's new wine, and so exciting, mate. There's going to be some good stuff coming out of you, and yeah, and around you. So, praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Wow, God is good. Is it warm in here, or is it? It's hot. Oh, yeah. So, my message is stoke the fire of gratitude. And that was a good message last week. I see fire. So I thought I'd continue with that. And, just the glory of God. We're going to see fire through our gratitude. And it's something that God's been dealing with me. And you know when the Holy Spirit says to me, Gary, you need to be more grateful. You know? Well, it's actually my wife, but she, you know. Same thing, yeah, type of shadow of the Holy Spirit. It's like, amen. But you know, but we've just got so much to be grateful for, haven't we? And I think as a body and individuals, we need to get back to the gratitude. And you know, some of those songs that we sing, my goodness, in the words, you can't sing them without being grateful. Hey, could I? You can't sing those words without being grateful. It shifts you to a place of, well, I'm just grateful. Oh my God. But I just want to pray this morning before I get into my message. Lord, I just thank you, Father. You are a good God. You're an amazing God, amazing Father. And we have so much to be grateful for, Lord God. And I just thank you for your word today, Father, that your word is for us today and your word is alive and powerful. And I just thank you, Lord, by your word and by your spirit, Lord, by the wonderful spirit of the Holy Spirit, that you touch us in every way today, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm just going to give out some quick, rapid-fire scriptures. They're not on the screen, but just that we know God is good. Okay? So Psalms 27:13. What would have become of me? What would become of us had we not believed that we will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? I mean, what would become, you know, I think back on my own life, what would have become of me if I had not seen the Lord's goodness in my life? Exodus 34:6. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abounding in goodness. He abounds in goodness and in truth. Amen. James 1:17. Every good gift and perfect gift comes from above. Every good gift comes from above. Jeremiah 31:14. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness. My goodness, you know, we're satisfied with God's goodness. And Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. Hallelujah. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is the man who trusts and takes refuge in him. And obviously my favourite scripture, 1 Chronicles 16:34. Give thanks to God, for he is good and his love never quits. And so everyone sitting here today, my goodness, God's love never quits. Wherever you are today, God's love never quits. Hallelujah. And so there's an overwhelming goodness of God, isn't there? An overwhelming goodness of God. And you only got to look at John 3:16-17. Oh, that last scripture was the Message translation, if you're looking for it. Okay, so you only got to look at John 3, 16 to 17. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, oh, can you see that? That didn't. Okay. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And that is the love of God. You know, the world today, the people have been plunged into darkness, but Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. You could even see that when he walked the earth. You know, he didn't come to condemn, he came to save. Hallelujah. And that is the goodness of God. You know, there is nothing that we can do to earn his love. With nothing that we can do to earn his goodness. Nothing that we can earn to do grace and salvation. All we can do is receive it. All we can do is receive it. Hallelujah. And so God has never quit on mankind. You know, even when our sin was great, his love was greater. Amen. And we see in the world today, even though sin is great, the love of God, of what Jesus did on the cross, is greater. Amen. And so, I just want to say, never lose the behold. Never lose the behold. Stand in awe and be amazed. Never lose that. Hallelujah. You know, we've got so much to be grateful for, you know, and the Word of God. The Word of God is filled with so many reminders, isn't it? So many reminders of how powerful and vital that a grateful heart is. And we've got so much to be grateful for. Amen. Amen. But, you know, life creeps in, doesn't it? Life has a way of creeping in. And, you know, when I was preparing this message, God gave me one word. And one word that comes in to steal your gratitude is familiarity. And you ever heard that saying, familiarity breeds contempt? And it's even in the Word of God, in the Message translation, in 1 Corinthians 11:26, where it's talking about partaking in communion. And you know, in communion, it says, as often as we do this. So, we're encouraged to do it often, to bring to remembrance of what Jesus did. But at the end it says, never let familiarity breed contempt. And I think sometimes we do that. I mean, sometimes when, you know, what once wowed you? You know, when something God did in your life, or you saw something that God did, and it was like, oh, wow, oh, my God. You know, God may have healed you. God may have set you free, you know, in your mind or whatever. He may have moved, and you may have found, like, amazing favor and a debt cancellation, and it's like a wow moment, you know, wow. But then time goes on, you know, and you hear the word and you get a revelation of it. Then you hear the word again. It's like, yeah, I've heard that. Oh my goodness. Familiarity has crept in. But never lose familiarity. Never let familiarity breed contempt. It's a robber of our gratitude. You see, it's a robber of our gratitude. Or, you know, in the midst of busyness, and we're all busy, we cram so much into our lives. In the midst of busyness or in the midst of pressures, you know, you forget to just pause and give thanks, you know, for the good that God has done in your lives. And so, Romans 1:21 says, they knew God, but they did not praise and thank him for being God. Oh my goodness, when I was reading that, it's like, oh God, you know, we know God. We know his awesomeness. We know what he's done in our lives. But they did not thank and praise him for being God. Well, maybe familiarity and the busyness of life had crept in. And this is the result. Instead, their thoughts were pointless. Suddenly, you know, when thanksgiving goes out of your life, suddenly your thoughts become pointless. Becomes pointless. And their misguided minds were plunged into darkness. Suddenly, I'm not as grateful as I used to be. Suddenly, we're not giving thanks. You know, and it says that their misguided minds were plunged into darkness. And sometimes, you know, there is power in gratitude. And when we let go of gratitude, we can slip into other stuff coming into our minds. You know, because there's a God-shaped hole in our heart that only God can fill, you see. And he fills it when we give gratitude. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. And so, when I'm talking about thank you this morning, there's many scriptures in the Bible that says give thanks. You know, and we can say thank you in various ways. You know, someone could pass you something. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you for that. Or someone could give you a gift. Oh, thank you. That's nice. You know, but then suddenly someone does something in your life, or God does something in your life, and it's like, oh, thank you. Suddenly you're getting into, you've stepped into gratitude because something is coming out of the heart. It's from thank you, it transfers into gratitude. So when I'm talking about thank you, when I mentioned the word thank you this morning, I'm talking about thank you, gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 to 18 says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Wow. Always be joyful. You notice that thankful or gratitude goes hand in hand with joyful? You can't give gratitude without being joyful. It will shift you to joy. Hallelujah. And often we think of joy and gratitude in the realm of feelings, don't we? We think of joy and gratitude in the realm of feelings, but joy is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, either we feel joyful or thankful, or we don't. And when we feel it, we do it. Is that, would that be a generalization? When we feel it, we do it. But the faith walk is that we don't go on our feelings. Amen. And because God's ways are different than our ways. Amen. So we thank him when we don't feel like it. And there are certainly days when we don't feel like it. Isn't there? If I be honest with myself. Okay? You might be thankful. You might seek to be thankful. You know you ought to be thankful. But the fire of your gratitude, for some reason, has grown to a slightly glowing ember. Hey. And for me, like, I was thinking, man, this is a real check-up. Hey. It's a real check-up for us. You know, but there's a move of the Holy Spirit to stoke up the embers and the fire of gratitude, because there is power in gratitude. And gratitude is associated or has a relationship with the glory of God. And we're going to see the glory of God. And the Holy Spirit is shifting us to a place in ourselves of gratitude. That when we can come in here and we sing those songs, we sing those songs and those words is gratitude. My goodness, and we feel those words and the glory of God. We touch heaven to change earth. We touch heaven to change us. Amen. Yeah, whoa. So, stoke the fire. So when that... Okay. So when that happens, we stoke up the fire. When the fire, in the natural, when the fire goes to embers, we stoke it up. And the Holy Spirit is here to stoke up the fire of gratitude this morning. Amen. That stoke means to stir up, to increase the activity, to encourage or incite. Holy Spirit wants to increase the activity of our gratefulness. of our gratitude. Amen. And so how do we do that? Well, God wants to live for us to live from a kingdom perspective. That we live from a kingdom perspective. You know, perspective is how we look at things, isn't it? You know, when we think about gratitude, often we think about circumstantially. You know, we thank out of circumstances, don't we? But like I said, you know, it's a faith walk. Our faith walk is a thankful walk. Our journey is a gratitude walk. Amen. You know, even when, you know, you're going through stuff and you're being pressed, is that I thank you, Lord, that you can do all, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I thank you, Lord, that you've got control of this. You know, our gratitude walk is our trust in God, isn't it? Our gratitude walk is our trust in God. And so, gratitude has power. And the power it has is to shift you, to shift us, to shift something inside of us. Amen. And see, the biggest thing that we have to overcome in life is ourselves. Well, I can government, you know, the MPs, yes, I. Now, the biggest thing we have to overcome is ourselves, if we're honest, eh? It's like, oh, Gary, you know, I overcome myself. I've got to overcome this attitude. You know, and, you know, gratitude has the power for you to be on top of circumstances instead of under them. Amen. Because a thankful heart, a gratitude heart will push you on top of circumstances. It will shift you on top of them. Amen. And so a fruit of, you know, okay. But our prayers tend to focus on external circumstances more than internal attitudes, don't they? We're always praying, like, external circumstances. We're always praying about the external circumstances that are happening around us instead of, Lord, I just thank you, Father. Help me to be more grateful. You know, instead of some internal stuff. You know, Lord, Father God, I'm just so sorry. I wasn't grateful for that. I could see your hand in that and what you were doing in that. You know what I mean? And so, no, gratitude is an internal attitude. Gratitude is an internal attitude. And a fruit of gratitude is contentment. And there's one person in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, you know, he was pressed every side, but he got through what he got through with gratitude. He was always grateful to God, what he had done in his life, and he was confident and he had faith that God could bring him through whatever he could bring him through, whatever he was going through. And see, the definition of contentment is an internal satisfaction that does not demand changes in external circumstances. And so when we learn to live from the inside out, when we learn to live from the kingdom, Philippians 4:11 says, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content in whatever I have. Wow. No, he learned the power of gratitude. He's learned, it was a learning, you know, it didn't just happen. Paul learned. He learned that whatever I'm going through, I know my God is greater. Whatever I'm going through, I know my God is greater. That my God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even when I'm in the dark places, hallelujah, you know, I've learned to be content. I've learned to thank God. And Paul did that, didn't he? When he was in prison, in the dark places, he learned, first and foremost, I thank God. I thank God, God, you can get me out of here. I'm just going to praise you anyway. And, you know, the prison doors were flung open. The power of gratitude, the power of praise, and the power of worship. Hallelujah. And Benjamin Franklin once says, to be content makes a poor man rich, and discontentment makes a rich man poor. So Paul learned to be content because he learned to live from a kingdom perspective. Amen. You know, God was the object of his trust. God was the object of his trust. And we can see that in the book of Acts. It's like Paul was just so grateful. And in the book of Acts, he was always, you know, he gave his testimony of the goodness of God, didn't he? You know, he once was in deep sin, but the love of God was greater. You know, he experienced that personally for himself. And so he was ever grateful. You know, thanking God for where you are so that he can take you to where you are meant to be. And sometimes we can, you know, discontentment can, you know, you can get stuck in disgratitude. Can't you? But when you start showing gratitude, God can start taking you from where you are, from where you're meant to be. Amen. And so it's the disposition of a person. Praise God. So his tender mercies are new every morning. We got up this morning and his tender mercies were new every morning. And every morning we can give thanks to God. Every morning we can give thanks to God. And so, you know, I've got down here, we can take a morning walk of gratitude. Take a morning walk of gratitude. It creates a fertile mind. Because you can't be stressed and thankful at the same time. Let's just give it a go. Try and be stressed and thankful at the same time. You know, when you're truly thankful. And so your heart of gratitude leaves no room for complaining. A heart of gratitude leaves no room for complaining. It's impossible to be truly thankful and filled with negativity and ungratefulness at the same time. And so, you know, it's a walk of gratitude. Amen. And so we take approximately 23,000 breaths a day. We take approximately 23,000 breaths a day. When was the last time you thanked God for one of them? That's interesting, isn't it? Yet we thank him for the things that take our breath away. Yet we thank him for the things that take our breath away, but have we thanked him for the breath that we have? Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. But the Apostle Paul, he learnt to express his gratitude, didn't he? I just love this guy. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And that should be our central, somewhere where we live out of. Out of everything that goes on, that should come right into the centre of our lives. Thanks be to God for Jesus. Never lose focus of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's all about Jesus, what he did for us. You know, and so thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, Paul could not even begin to describe what God, what Jesus had done for him. Hallelujah. You know, he experienced that Jesus came not to condemn Paul and all that he did, but to save Paul, to show him grace. Hallelujah. You know, he expressed thanks, he expressed gratitude out of an experience of grace. He experienced grace, didn't he? You know, and gratitude flourishes in the sphere of grace. You know, when you experience grace, gratitude flourishes. You know, because gratitude is a response to the grace upon our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You know, thanks and gratitude have a close relationship with grace. 2 Corinthians 4:15. This is for your benefit. It's what it says in Scripture. All this is for your benefit. So gratitude is for our benefit. Okay? And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving. And God will receive more and more glory. Isn't that so true in these days? And as we get into the last days and dark days, that God's grace will reach into dark places, pluck people out of dark places, and there will be great thanksgiving. Is that people will just be so grateful, like Paul, you know, that God's grace, God's hand reached out, pulled people out of what had them bound. And they will be, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. There will be gratitude. And the word of God says there will be more glory. Hallelujah. So gratitude is associated with glory. Amen. And, you know, and gratitude must be in place for more glory to come. And I believe we're going to see glory in this house. And it's going to come because people are grateful. There will be gratitude, there will be praise and their worship that, you know, like I said, when we sing those songs, if we sung with gratitude, it will shift us, it will move us to touch heaven, to change earth, for the glory of God to come into this place. Amen. And so what does it take to make the words thank you into gratitude? It takes a genuine feeling of gratitude. Amen. It's a response to God's goodness. Hallelujah. Praise God. So gratitude, what can gratitude? Gratitude can lift you out of a wrong attitude. Gratitude can lift you out of a wrong attitude. My wife said I need gratitude. But gratitude can precede your miracle. Gratitude precedes a miracle. And we saw that, didn't we, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. First and foremost, he gave thanks to God. And in John 11, 41 to 42, Message translation, then to the others, this is Jesus, before he raised Lazarus, go ahead, take away the stone. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you have listened to me. My goodness, imagine introducing that into our prayers. When we pray, at the end of our prayer, Lord, I am grateful you have heard me. Hallelujah. I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken that they may believe that you have sent me. Well, gratitude, like we've heard this morning, is a breakthrough attitude. My goodness, if we can come in to a place of gratitude, let's see breakthrough. You know, our gratitude is a breakthrough attitude. Amen. That we thank him for the finished work of the cross. Even if we just do that, Lord, I just thank you for the finished work of the cross. My goodness, I am the redeemed. Hallelujah. I have been set free. Hallelujah. I thank you for your blood, Jesus, that I've been made righteous, that I have right standing with you, Lord God. You are my Father. And I can confidently come to the throne room of grace, of mercy, and oh my goodness, that we're just so thankful that we never let familiarity creep in to what God has done for us. Oh my goodness. And so let's shift ourselves back to that place. Amen. And every week when we come here, it's like, my God, I don't care what's going on. I'm just going to go to church and I'm going to sing those words. and I'm going to make sure I feel those words because Jesus went to the cross for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus, if you never do anything again in my life, you've already done enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Where am I? Let's have a sip. Hallelujah. So gratitude is a breakthrough attitude. But what gratitude does also, it honours God. Gratitude honours God, doesn't it? Psalms 50:23. He who gives a gift of thanks honours me. Oh my goodness. He says, look, God's saying, hey, when you're grateful, it just honours me. It just honours me. And to him who makes his way right, I will show him the saving power of God. My goodness. You know, and that's a lifestyle of always making our way right. You know, and we can shift to gratitude. We can make our way right this morning by being grateful. Amen. And what does it say? And I will show him the saving power of God. So there is power in gratitude. There is power in being thankful. Thank you, Jesus. To experience the saving power of God. You know, his power through hearts of gratitude and focused minds on him releases the grip our struggles have over us. You know, and that we're strengthened by his peace and refueled by his joy when we show gratitude. Because the fruit of gratitude is joy. Amen. And so in everything that we give thanks, you know, you can think of something in your own life this morning, but you think, no, I'm going to give thanks anyway. I'm going to give thanks to God because he is able. You know, and if everything's going well in your life, you say, thank you, God, everything is going well. But there's always more to God. You know, God is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. It's the will of God for us to give thanks. You know, thank you, Jesus. And so what does gratitude change? Gratitude changes your outlook. It does. It just shifts your outlook. Amen. Romans 8:28. For we know that all, doesn't say some, says we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So all things, doesn't matter what you're going, all things work together for good. Sometimes we can't see it, can we? We think, oh my God, how's this working for my good? You know? And then we come out, and then we look back, and you go, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. Man, I just learnt some stuff, what I've just been through. I've just learnt some stuff. I learnt that, well, what I learnt was, you never leave me nor forsake me. You had me all the time. I've just been through some stuff, and my God, you provided. Now I can see. Now I've come out of it, I can see that you provided for us. You know, we can't see it at the time, but all things work together for good. Amen. So we thank God for all things he has done, all things that he is doing, and all things that he is going to do. And he's going to do some good things. He's going to do some good things in this house. He's doing good things in this house. So one thing, we can just thank him today for what he is doing in this house. And we thank him for what he is going to do. The glory, amen. Praise you, Jesus. Man, I enjoyed that men's breakfast yesterday, Matt. Thanks, guys, for all the ones that put that on. That was awesome. It was awesome just to for fellowship yesterday. Man, that was a good thing yesterday. you know, coming together and, you know, a sense of camaraderie. And, and even that yesterday was something to thank God for. Amen. That's something to thank God for. You know, so we thank God for where he's brought you to. And as a house, as a church, he's brought us to a place, hasn't he? And we thank him for that. So he can take us to the place where he has planned for us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I've shared this before, and this was a word I had before for the church a while ago. You have not experienced me in a certain way yet. Worship me, and I've just added a bit, and give thanks as though you have. My good, we've experienced God, but we haven't experienced him in a certain way yet. But we give thanks as though we have. Amen. See, gratitude gets our eyes off ourselves and helps us focus back onto God. Amen. It reminds us that we're not in control, but we serve a mighty God who is. Amen. And so the word today is be still. Gratitude stills you. Be still and know that the Lord is in control. Gratitude, it keeps us in a place of humility and dependency on God. Amen. I've shared this before, but this is awesome. I love this. And I'll read it to you. It's from a guy called Thomas Merton. And just let it sink into your hearts. When we are thankful, we are remembering the one who owes us nothing, but gives us all. That is the nature of grace, receiving what we do not deserve. To be grateful is to recognize the love of God in everything that he has given us. And he has given us everything. Every breath we draw is a gift of his love. Every moment of existence is a grace. And it brings forth with it immense graces from him. Gratitude, therefore, takes nothing for granted. It's never unresponsive. It's constantly awaking to the new wonder and to praise of the goodness of God. For the grateful person knows that God is good, not by hearsay, but by experience. And that is what makes all the difference. Wow, awesome, eh? I'm just going to finish up now with Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, so having said all of that, I've said all of that to say this, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Amen. Amen. So gratitude gets our eyes off of ourselves, focuses it back on God, and we're strengthened with his peace and we're refueled with his joy when we show gratitude. Amen. So today, the message is, let's get back to the altar of thanksgiving. The altar of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you, Father. We just thank you for your goodness, Lord. Hey, let's just stand up, eh? Let's just finish by standing up. My goodness, let's just give him thanks. Hallelujah. What about as a house? As a family, as a congregation of believers, that God has joined us together, you know, I feel that the Holy Spirit has brought us to a place right now in this point in time, hasn't he? And we can feel that, we know that, hallelujah, and God and the Holy Spirit, he's taking us on a journey, you know, he's bringing us to a place and into a place into a place. It's a journey of the Holy Spirit. The move of the Holy Spirit is a journey, you see. But right now, You know, we thank him for bringing us to this place so he can take us to where he wants us to be. So let's lift our hands up and let's give thanks. Oh, Lord God, Father God, we just give you thanks today, Father. We just thank you first and foremost for your son, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, you so loved the world that you gave us your son, Lord God. And Lord, today, Father God, we thank you for our salvation, Father God, for what Jesus did for us, Father God. Lord, Holy Spirit, help us never to lose sight of what Jesus did for us personally. Hallelujah. And we want to give you all the praise and all the glory for that, Father God. We shift back to that this morning, Father God. And we thank you, Lord God, Father God, for what you are doing in this house, Father God, from where you've brought us from to where you've brought us to. Lord God, we've had some great times in you, Father God. Father God, in the past, Lord, that your glory has filled this house, Father God. Father God, and we thank you, Father God, that you gave us a word, Father God, of an imminent move of the Holy Spirit, Father God. And your word says you are a God who does not lie, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, for the move of the Holy Spirit, Father God, for the journey of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And Father God, for where the Holy Spirit has brought us to in this place, this time, Lord God, this Sunday, hallelujah. And we want to thank you for that, Father God. And as we give you thanks, Lord God, Father God, we're just so excited, Father God, what lays ahead of us, Father God. Father God, and we want to give you all the praise and we want to give you all the glory for that, Father God. And we are so grateful, Father God. We are so grateful, Father God. And so we give you a shout of praise, Father God. And Lord, I just thank you, Father God, for an outpouring, Father God, of joy in the house, Father God. An outpouring of gratitude in the house, Father God. Father God, Father God, that when we lift our hands and our hearts and our voices to heaven, Lord God, we touch heaven, Father God. Heaven touches earth, Father God. And Father God, we just thank you, Father, for your glory, Father God. Father God, in Jesus' name, amen.